And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. Today, I've got a very interesting guest. He's a good friend of mine, and I think he's one of the, if not the best, certainly one of the best, but he's doing such a great job of being a researcher that he may be America's top researcher today in areas of, you know, let's just call it the secret history of the world. His name is Victor Thorne, T-H-O-R-N, and Victor has authored many books. In fact, I remember there's a trilogy, I believe, three books about Bill and Hillary Clinton, and it seems like we can never get rid of that group, those two. So those books will probably be even more important in the future. But Victor's also done books exposing the USS Liberty incident and Israel's murder of our sailors. He also did, I think, a great book that we've offered here in the ministry about 9/11. He exposed the fact that the Israeli Mossad was the key element in the horrible incident on 9/11, the two World Trade Center towers and the other incidents that occurred that day. The thing I like about Victor Thorne, let me say up front, is he's a man who does not appreciate lies. I like that. I like a man who says, you know what, I'm going to discover the truth in this, and I'm going to report it no matter what happens. Well, I'd like to welcome as my guest today, Victor Thorne. Welcome to Power of Prophecy, Victor.
Well, it's great to be here. It's always good to talk to you, Tex, and I just appreciate you having me on today.
Well, you know, you're from State College, Pennsylvania, and up in Pennsylvania, you know, is where our nation really began, you might say. In a sense, of course, New England, we can go back to the Pilgrims and all that. But you're in a very fertile area of the country, and seems like folks up there should appreciate truth. But I think there is a growing hunger for truth in America, and it seems like that's what you specialize in. But here's the book that I have in front of me, folks. And it's by Victor Thorne, his newest. It's called The Holocaust Hoax Exposed, Debunking the 20th Century's Greatest Fabrication. Now, I want you to think about it. Let those words just get into your subconscious and your conscious a minute. The Holocaust Hoax Exposed, Debunking the 20th Century's Greatest Fabrication. Victor, let me first ask you this question. This is a very dangerous book, it seems like. Even to you, I mean, there are going to be, this book just came out, and of course you're going to be branded and labeled every name in the book for writing it and publishing it. What really compelled you to write and publish this book?
Well, I think you really summed it up, Tex, is that I can't tolerate the plethora of lies that abound in our society. And when you said this is a dangerous book, you're absolutely right. I saw you speak last November, I believe it was, down in Washington, D.C., where you were on the same bill as David Irving, who spent 13 months in solitary confinement in a European jail simply for questioning the Holocaust on European soil. So, you know, there's been all kinds of other things where Holocaust researchers or revisionist historians have been beaten, they've been branded, they've been fired from their occupations, all because, not that they committed murder against someone, not that they raped someone, not that they committed arson. It's because they asked questions. They said, if we're being told that 6 million Jews were systematically killed by the Germans during World War II, please give us the proof. That's all they did. And they were imprisoned, they were beat up, and all of these other atrocities committed to them. So this is going into really uncharted territory a lot of times, because not only is the Holocaust the greatest conspiracy of the 20th century, but it's also the most suppressed conspiracy. And regrettably, not only is it suppressed in a mainstream media text, but also in a patriot movement. 99% of the figures in this field that we're in refuse to let their listeners or their readers or their viewers know the importance of debunking the Holocaust. And it's my contention that there's no way that we can ever beat the New World Order until we know the roots of this Holocaust hoax, this conspiracy, because everything that's happening today really rests upon this foundation of a vast lie that was perpetrated that 6 million Jews were killed. And, you know, we can go into that a little bit more, but I think the best way to put it is that what if somebody didn't know anything about the Super Bowl and somebody tries to explain the Super Bowl to them, but they never mention football? How much of an understanding would they have of what the entire Super Bowl is if they don't mention football? Well, so much of our current world today and the troubles that we face are based upon the lies of this Holocaust that I think it's a grave injustice being done to everyone when, you know, not only the mainstream media, not only our own Congress, but even people in its own field refuse to say, look, this is a lie. So that's the primary reason why I wrote this book, is it is the biggest conspiracy of the 20th century.
You know, in Washington, D.C. is the great building where they house the Holocaust Museum. It's sort of an amazing thing. It costs billions of dollars, most of it U.S. taxpayer money, on very prime real estate in Washington, D.C. It's run, of course, by a Jewish organization. And, of course, these Jewish organizations always put Israel first. But to have an Israeli run, basically, that's what it really is, Holocaust Museum for tourists in Washington, D.C., I always, you know, even before I knew the truth about the Holocaust, as you do now, I was always amazed. It seemed to me, you know, why would America, if the American military troops were the ones who supposedly liberated the Jews from the concentration camps of Nazi Germany, why would it be our responsibility to build a museum and spend billions of taxpayer dollars to make it a really almost to perpetuate the memory of what supposedly happened in Nazi Germany during World War II and right before? I was always curious about that. But, you know, there's a Holocaust Museum also in Israel. In fact, there's miniature Holocaust museums all over the world. There's one out in California, and of course, our children are being subjected to Holocaust propaganda education in classes. It's almost as if this event is the most important event in the history of the world, isn't it?
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, Tex. It's almost as if you're reading my mind, because I know a woman, and since we're in Pennsylvania right here, we're only a few hours from D.C., and this woman has a daughter in high school, and she was telling me a few weeks ago about how they loaded the entire class up into buses, and they take them down to this museum, this Holocaust museum. And before they did so, they were reading books about the Holocaust, and the teacher, I guess, was up in the middle of in the front of the class, crying, tears coming out of her eyes, so emotional about this and the grave injustices done to these 6 million people. Then with this foundation set, with all these kids primed for the propaganda, then they load them in the bus and take them down there and put them through this museum where they're just further brainwashed. And, you know, considering how little history is taught to our children nowadays, why is this moved or pushed to the forefront? It's like we're acting as agents for the nation of Israel to get all of our kids indoctrinated every generation, one after another, so that they always know that Israel will be the preferred nation, that our country will always do their dirty work for them, and that they'll always be the perpetual victims throughout history. And it's really appalling, because this woman that was telling me about it, she knows the truth about the Holocaust, and so do her children. And the worst part is they have to remain silent, because if they open their mouth and question this, I mean, I think they would be evicted from school. They would be permanently evicted for even broaching the notion that, hey, wait a second, maybe we should be questioning this. So, you know, they use such a heavy hand on not only the adults, but on the children.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the reason why your book is so important, but also the reason why, you know, your very life even could be in danger for having written and published such a book. First of all, we know there, as you mentioned in your book, there are many laws in Europe and countries around the world that prevent anyone questioning the Holocaust and the figure of 6 million supposedly Jews who died in the Holocaust. Now, you know, in a country where our traditions under our Bill of Rights and our Constitution are freedom of speech, it seems odd that if you question history and give your opinion about it, that you would be thrown into prison. You mentioned Mr. Irving, this British historian. There's Ernest Zundel, a friend of mine. There's many who are in prison right now today in Germany and in other countries, Austria and so forth, simply for questioning. France is another country that will put you in prison for questioning the Holocaust. Now, I don't know of any, you know, in American history, I got a book recently by a woman named Deanna Spingola called The Ruling Elite, and it's about 400 and some odd pages, Victor, and in it she talks about, you know, the truth about American history. And she has gone back and studied, you know, especially during the Civil War era, but to many other eras of American history, and found there's a lot of false teaching in school textbooks. But nobody is saying, Deanna Spingola, we're going to put you in prison for writing your book. In other words, this is America, and if you want to question history, any aspect of history, feel free to do so. I mean, if somebody writes a book favorable, a biography, let's say, of Franklin D. Roosevelt as president, but if you or I, Victor, wrote one that was negative, and we said we look at the facts differently, no one is going to put us in prison, okay? This is our opinion. We can marshal all the facts that we want and put it out in a book or whatever. But you right now, I'm assuming you're not planning any trip to one of these 20-some-odd countries that have made it a law that you will go to prison for even questioning the Holocaust, right?
Yeah, no, I have no plans of going to Europe. And it's interesting what you're saying, Tex, because I know how many books you've written, and I've read all of them. And knowing you personally, I think I've met you three different times now, that when you write a book, I don't think you're afraid to debate your book, are you? You'll stand by what's in your books, and I'm the same way with mine. If I put my name on the cover of this book, I'm not afraid to debate this book with someone. So if we have this historical event that contends that 6 million Jews were killed by the Germans, what are they so afraid of?
Yeah, they're desperate to keep people from discussing it, questioning it. And so if you say there are only 5 million were killed rather than 6 million, that is breaking the law in Germany and Israel and many other countries. So you can't even question the number of people that supposedly died. And if you, by the way, if you say any other genocide or any other horrible situation occurred any time in history that was worse than the Holocaust, they'll even accuse you then of diminishing or defaming the dead or some other strange, you know, offense. So you can't even say that. So it appears that the Jews have made this part of their religion. Would you call this a dogma, a religious, you know, theological principle for the Jews today?
Well, I'd take it even a step further, where I'd say the figure of 6 million now has become an occult Talmudic mantra that is repeated so many times over and over again that it becomes a form of psychic driving, where this number and this notion is so perpetually pounded into our heads that, yeah, it does become not only part of their religion, but I think it takes an even darker overtone where, you know, the Holocaust, the word Holocaust means a burnt offering. And in this book, The Holocaust Hoax Exposed, I prove that there were none, that there were zero Jews killed in any German death camps. But, Tex, the notion of a burnt offering really comes from the Jewish religion itself, where you had this figure named Moloch, where this god of darkness, of fire in the Old Testament, where Jewish parents would come and throw their own children into blazing pits of fire to the god Moloch. So it wasn't the Germans that committed this burnt offering. It was actually the Jews themselves in antiquity that sacrificed their own children. And then what they did is, in a form of projection or transference, they transferred it to the German people and then essentially used this victimization to say, now what we're going to do is we need our own state created out of this. And after World War II, when the United Nations was formed, the very first act they did was to say that the state of Israel will be created so that this type of atrocity will never be committed again. So it is, it's integral, it's it one with their own being and existence. And even today with the drumbeats of war with Iran going on, we hear the same mantra. We can't have another Holocaust against the Jewish people. So they use it over and over and over again, and if it works, they keep using it.
I remember when Yasser Arafat was head of the PLO, the Palestinian Liberation Organization, they would accuse him of wanting to have a Holocaust, of wanting to put the Jews in ovens and similar things. Of course, you know, the Palestinians were, I mean, here are people reduced to throwing rocks at tanks of the Israelis. You know, have no weapons, no ability to do anything militarily or otherwise. And the same thing goes for Iran, of course. It's interesting that Israel has probably the fourth or fifth most powerful army and military in the world. Iran is way, way behind. And Israel is the only nation in that area of the world that actually has nuclear bombs. Iran, our intelligence services say none. And yet, just a very... the idea put out there by Netanyahu and Obama and others that if we don't do away with Iran and its leadership and evidently murder hundreds of thousands of Iranian people, why they're going to do to the Jews in Israel what Hitler did. You know, but how are they going to do it? I mean, first of all, you can't go up against as much as 200 to 400 nuclear bombs. And it's Israel that has those nuclear bombs. Iran has none, zero, zilch. So, you know, but again, Ahmadinejad made a fantastic point when he said, why should the Palestinians suffer, even if it were true, that the Germans killed that many Jews during World War II in the camps? What did the Palestinians have to do with that? Why should they, you know, have their land stolen? Why should they have their heritage taken? Why should they be killed in multitudes of people, men, women, and children, the Palestinians, because of something the Germans did, you know, 50 or 60 years ago? That makes no sense at all. So, you know, that transference you talked about, it's a horrible thing. By the way, one of the things, you know, you mentioned my Washington, D.C. talk, I talked about psychopaths. And absolutely, you know, I've studied the characteristics of psychopaths, Victor. One of the things you can always count on with a psychopath is that he or she is a victim. I can show you psychopathic killers, serial killers, who are sitting in their jail cells today. And if you ask them what their thoughts are, they'll say, do people realize how much I'm suffering here in prison? They actually believe they're suffering and that, you know, they are the victim. Victimhood is the key principle of psychopaths. And I know that sounds hard to believe, but they really believe that they have been victimized. And it's just amazing. They have absolutely no guilt as such. They feel no guilt, only hatred toward their victims. And yet they're the ones that claim to be victims. And I think the Jews here are nothing less than monstrous psychopaths. And they go about killing others. And then if you complain about their murders, they say, well, look what happened to us. Look how we've suffered. It also reminds me of the things that are going on in black-white relations in America today. How blacks now have, you know, get quotas for jobs, get race norming in the test, get promotions over white people, get all kind of government benefits handed to them. And then they turn around and say, but look. Look, 150 years ago, our ancestors were slaves. We're such victims. You must continue to favor us. You must continue to let us bash and beat white people and trash white cities and such. After all, we're blacks. We're victims. You know, it's an Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton, Victor, as you know, live in mansions. They're millionaires, but they're victims because they're black. It's an incredible circumstance. And the Jews have a higher number of billionaires and millionaires than any other race or nation in the world. And yet they continue to be victims. Let's talk a little bit about your book. It's full of facts, and we're offering it through the ministry, Victor, because it's such an important book. I would love to see hundreds of books on this subject out there in the bookstores. But I doubt if your book, as good as it is, as well documented as it is, and very clear to read, I doubt if it will ever be in a Barnes & Noble bookstore. What do you think?
No, I can't envision that it will be. But the book itself, one of the other reasons I wrote it was that there were so many fantastic Holocaust researchers before me. But there was never a book that I could find to put everything between two covers, had it in layman's terms so anybody can understand it. It's not it's not academically written. It's not a whole bunch of minutiae where you go way, way deep into one specific area. This is, you mentioned Deanna Spingola. She said recently, she read the book and she said, this is without a doubt the most comprehensive book on the Holocaust ever written. So this is the book that if you want to not only introduce yourself to this subject, but also people around you, it's 180 pages. People say they can read it in one evening. And it lays out from beginning to end everything. And it's not done in a real complicated manner. But what I did also, Tex, was when I wrote the book, I used three things. And this might sound a little bit crazy, but I used logic and reason and common sense. Now, I know that's a lot to ask when you're writing a book, but
yes.
I use logic and reason and common sense, and that's how I approached it. And when you look at this myth, this fabrication, this lie of 6 million, once it comes up against logic, reason, and common sense, and a little bit of arithmetic, the whole house of cards crumbles very, very quickly. And, you know, I almost started writing this book back in the mid-2000s, about 2006. But I had other projects, and admittedly, I was a little bit intimidated by the subject. I mean, it is the big conspiracy of the 20th century. But I have to tell you, Tex, it was one of the easiest books I've ever written because this myth is so easy to pick apart that it just crumbles once you go in there and really start picking away at it. So, you know, people that think, oh, well, how could that ever be disproven? All they have to do is read a few pages, and all of a sudden the light bulb goes off, and they say, oh, my God, this never happened.
This is evidently then, Victor, the reason why Israel and the Jews worldwide have worked furiously to get laws passed that make it a crime to discuss this subject. In other words,
precisely.
They want you to go to prison for bringing this up, and they want every copy of your book to be burned in a big bonfire. Because, as you say, it's got facts in it, and they have no facts. They have only lies and myths. Now, I would like to start out, first of all, let's go to an area that a lot of people will say, well, here's the proof that this what you're saying cannot be right, Victor. Let's start right here. First of all, the Nuremberg war crimes trials. After we defeated Germany, or I should say the Jews defeated Germany in World War II, using the Americans as their battering ram and their sacrificial victims in the war. But in any case, after Germany was defeated in World War II, we had these Nuremberg war crimes trials. And such men as Rudolf Hess and others were taken, and of course, Hermann Göring, the chief of the Luftwaffe, the Air Force in Germany, all these people were paraded before the world. Transcripts, books were made, movies were made. And these people actually admitted, did they not? I mean, let me take a devil's advocate here approach. They actually admitted what they did. The commandant of Auschwitz admitted that he had murdered or caused to be murdered all these people. They admitted all of these things. I mean, you know, the bodies of the Jews made into human soap, their tattooed skin taken off and made into lampshades, their heads shrunken like the cannibals of South America. All these things were admitted to by Germans. So how can you come back in your book and say the Holocaust is a hoax?
Well, that's a good place to start because there's an entire chapter, and it's titled The Tortured Confessions, and confessions is in quotation marks, The Tortured Confessions of Rudolf Hess. And he was an Auschwitz SS commander who testified at Nuremberg, and he was the first person in that trial to come up with the figure of 6 million Jews were killed. So, boy, right off the bat, you say, well, there it is. Here's a German himself, and he says 6 million were killed. But it ends up that before he had to, quote-unquote, testify, there was a British officer. Actually, he was a Jewish military intelligence officer working for the Brits. His name was Bernard Clark. And him and his men beat and tortured Rudolf Hess for days and days before his appearance at the Nuremberg trials. And not only that, they said that not only would he be beaten, but the lives of his wife and children were also endangered if he didn't go along with their agenda. So he was the man who came and said there were 6 million killed, and he started coming up with all of these specifics where, you know, how there was Zyklon B was used and how the German soldiers would be standing outside the death chambers. And then they would open up the doors, they'd still be smoking cigarettes, and they'd be dragging out the bodies, and on and on and on. And he would talk about also how there are all these deaths at a camp called Wolzach. Well, once revisionist historians started looking into Rudolf Hess's story, they realized, first of all, there was never even a camp named Wolzach. There was no facility ever in Germany or the countries around it named Wolzach. He made that one up when he was being tortured. And also then he started looking about how if there's all of these bodies in a room, 60, 80, hundreds of bodies in a room, and they died from Zyklon B, which is a gas, well then the Germans supposedly, as soon as they died, opened up the door and just started dragging them out. Well, Tex, wouldn't some of the gases be beneath or between the bodies, in the clothes? And if there's hundreds and hundreds, there'd be all of these gases in there. And the Germans are smoking cigarettes. Well, as far as I know, Tex, if you have a highly flammable gas, wouldn't it be unsafe to be smoking cigarettes around it? So there's all of these little peculiarities that they started piquing their interest. And once you look into it, this entire story falls apart, especially the part about the 6 million. So Rudolf Hess did testify. He just testified under severe, severe duress. And that's why he said the things he said.
So, and by the way, you quote people such as Rupert Butler, who wrote a book called Legions of Death, how the guy was dragged naked, and you know, people heard him screaming and hollering, being tortured. We're talking about Rudolf Hess. So these basically then, these confessions, so-called, were from torture. And, you know, you can get a man to say anything you want to with the horrible tortures that these poor German prisoners went through. We're going to take a break now, folks, and we've got our guest today, Victor Thorne. I have a copy of his book here in front of me called The Holocaust Hoax Exposed, Debunking the 20th Century's Greatest Fabrication. You must have this book. Folks, we've got to know true history. And I believe that history will begin to roll. We will find out so much more if we deconstruct. In other words, if we simply bring in the truth, as Victor Thorne has said, logic, common sense, reason. If we use those things, but I just like to group it under the heading of truth. If we bring truth into play, the whole house of cards of the Jewish liars will fall apart, and then maybe everything else will come to fore. In other words, we will begin to see a wholly different world than we've been lied to about, from 9/11 all the way back to the JFK assassination, to the Oklahoma City massacre. All these things, then we'll understand who really did it and why they lied. I'm Tex Morris, my special guest today, Victor Thorne. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Hello, friends. Tex Morris here. You know, one of the things I care about very deeply is truth. And I've always loved the words of Jesus Christ. He said in John 8, verse 44, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That's the commission of this ministry of power of prophecy, is to tell the truth. It's always been our guiding light. And I think if you will simply tell the truth, if you're honest about things, everything else will fall into play. Of course, today the lie is cherished, upheld, honored, and truthful men are put away in prison camps, insane asylums, simply for telling the truth. Nevertheless, they persist. And the most recent is Victor Thorne. Here's a man who, I'm telling you folks, no matter who wins this next election, whether it's a Mitt Romney or a Barack Obama, Jewish organizations, the World Zionist Organization, or the Zionist Organization of America, the American Jewish Congress, the American Jewish Committee, AIPAC, the ADL, all of these Jewish groups are pushing hard for legislation, so-called Hate Crimes Act, that will make telling the truth about the Holocaust a punishable criminal prison offense. So it may very well be that Victor Thorne could end up in prison. Well, you know, we heard the case of Ernest Zundel, who was living with his wife up in the beautiful mountains of Tennessee, and he was actually arrested and taken by U.S. aircraft, a special aircraft by the Department of Justice, first to Canada and then to Germany, and spent several years in prison simply for questioning whether there really were gas chambers in Auschwitz at the concentration camp. He concluded there were none, and they put him in prison for simply saying that. And the worst thing about his case was that Mr. Zundel actually proved it in a court of law prior to being tried. But the judges in his case said the truth is not a defense. In other words, even telling the truth will not prevent you from going to prison. Telling the truth, then, is the cause of going to prison. Victor Thorne has told the truth here. And I would like to ask you to do something, friends. Would you please support Victor Thorne and this ministry and the cause of truth by buying this book? It will take an act of courage on your part to not only, you'll enjoy reading the book, because I think that people who love the truth, and I believe the audience, you, my dear friends, the men and the women who listen to Power Prophecy each week, who get Tex Mars newsletter, who go to my website and see all the things that we're doing there. Folks, you're the ones that love truth. You cherish it. You harbor it in your heart. That's why you're going to love this book. You keep reading every page of this book and you say, wow, finally I'm getting the truth. Wow. Folks, you can read 500 history books about World War II or about what happened in World War II, and you will get, you know, so little truth. I mean, the lies are monumental. Every historian follows another, and they all lie, you know, just like ants going after, you know, a piece of candy laying on a sidewalk that somebody threw out. I mean, they're like an army of ants following each other in lockstep. Victor Thorne stepped out of line and said, wait just a minute. This doesn't add up. I'm going to discover the truth. Would you help him and others like him by your purchasing this book? I hope you'll buy 5 or 6 copies. It's $20 each for the book. $20. Is it worth it to you to discover the truth about what really happened in the years of what is called the Holocaust? What about the Nuremberg war crimes trial? Did anybody ever tell you before that the Germans that were captured by the United States, the Soviet Union, and Britain, many of them were tortured into their confessions? Did you know about that? How can you get the truth if you're yanking out fingernails and burning people with hot irons and beating them? How can you get the truth if you're doing that kind of treatment to prisoners? There's so much more you need to find out. There were no, as Victor Thorne proves, there were no human beings turned into soap. There were no lampshades made out of human tattoos. There were no shrunken heads. All of these lies. There were no 6 million people, Jews, who died in these camps. It's amazing when you think of 66 million who died in the Soviet gulags run by Jewish commandants. Now, Alexander Solzhenitsyn, one of the greatest historians in the history of this world, exposed that fact in his last book, a book that every American publisher refuses to publish in the English language. Did you understand that? The most famous historian of the 20th century, Alexander Solzhenitsyn, exposed the fact that it was the Jews who were responsible for 66 million, mostly Christians, dying in the Soviet camps, the gulag, the concentration camps. There was a real Holocaust during the 20th century. It occurred in communist Russia, and another one occurred in communist China. But you cannot read about those because those are subjects barred to you. You won't see dozens and dozens of movies by Hollywood about what Lenin and Trotsky and Stalin did, or Mao Zedong, their model hero. No, all you will hear is about how bad the Germans were, how bad Hitler was, and the horrible things done to Jews. Now, folks, I want you to know the truth about this. Is it worth it to you? $20 for this book. I'm asking you to buy it. And after you've read this book, I want you to turn around and order 5 or 6 more. Give it to your friends. Ask them to read it. I'm afraid that many of them might say, I'm not going to read that. No, get that away. They're so frightened by the truth. Americans should love the truth. But you and I know from what has happened with 9/11, Oklahoma City bombing, and so forth, all the lies told about Afghanistan, Iraq wars, and so forth. We're being lied to constantly, continuously. But here's a chance for you to strike out and say, no more. No more lies. I want the truth. Start with this book by Victor Thorne, and let it be a campaign for each of us to go forth. Let's buy as many copies of this book that we can. Make it into an underground bestseller, okay? An underground bestseller. You order it, and we'll keep printing more and more copies as long as you help us get the truth out. And for just $20, you can do that. $20 for this book. Please add $5 shipping and handling, a total of $25, and we'll send this book right out to you, okay? Just ask for the Holocaust book. Simple as that. Now, the title is The Holocaust Hoax Exposed. But just ask for the book by Victor Thorne on the Holocaust, and we'll get it right out to you. A total of $25 post-paid. I promise you this book is worth every penny. In fact, the truth is worth a lot more than $25. Okay? Now, here's how to get your copy of Holocaust Hoax Exposed. Simply phone us toll-free during the work week, Monday through Friday, 8 to 5:30. Phone us toll-free, 1-800-234-9673. 1-800-234-9673. You can also go to our website, powerofprophecy.com, and there on the homepage, you can order the book, Holocaust Hoax Exposed. You can also, of course, mail it to us, your payment. Our address is Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. Send $25. That'll cover all the shipping, the postage, and such. And say, Dear Tex, send me the Holocaust book by Victor Thorne, and we'll get it right away to you. And then finally, you'll have the truth. All in one volume, you'll see about the so-called death factories. You'll see why these things are not scientifically possible. Victor Thorne has written a scientific book. He quotes engineers, scientists, researchers who have actually done true studies. These aren't so-called survivors and witnesses that are lying, who publish books to make themselves into millionaires. And believe me, there's hundreds of Jews out there who are millionaires today because they told lies about the Holocaust. But you'll see the scientists who actually told the truth. They're hated by the world. The truth is never embraced by the liars, but you don't have to be part of the lie. You can embrace the truth, and you can help sponsor things that mean something in this world. Folks, we're building a structure, a temple of truth in this world, and you can be part of it, okay? Let's return now to our regular program. My guest today is Victor Thorne, a good friend of mine. I like Victor because he loves the truth, and he tells the truth. And he is in disregard for his own safety, for his own life, for his career. And he should have a great career as a writer, considering the many books he's written, some of which we've offered through the ministry here. But I think this could go down in history as one of his best books. And maybe it'll put a dent in the great lie. Victor, welcome back to Power of Prophecy.
Well, it's great to be here, Tex, and your words they're always inspirational to me because, like myself, you don't live in fear. And I had no fear whatsoever writing this book, putting my name on it, putting it out there on the market. And everybody out there listening, everybody listening to your show, I know they're the same kind of people as us, Tex, is that they don't live in fear, that they want the truth, and that this is something where, you know, many people will shy away from it because they live in fear, but the people that are drawn to you or drawn to the truth, as you say, they don't have fear in their lives, that fear has been disregarded, and they seek the truth. And, you know, if I'm not afraid to put my name on it, then nobody should be afraid to pick this book up and discover the ultimate truth about what happened in World War II.
Okay, now we do know one thing, that many Jews were taken from their homes and so forth and placed into camps. What exactly was that all about, Victor? Why were they picked up? Why were they taken to camps? And if they were not killing camps, what were they for? What did Hitler and the German Nazis at the time, was their true intent?
Well, we have to put ourselves back at that time, and this was World War II, the biggest military operation in the history of the world. The Germans were not only fighting the Russians and the Europeans, and they also went southward into Africa, but they were also fighting the Americans once we entered the war. So they had this war going on all these fronts. Every man aged 16 to 45, every able-bodied man that was capable of was out in the field fighting. They had 8 million men fighting. So if we think about it in terms of war, how did they keep the war machine going? How did they get bullets and boots and tanks and guns and food and all of these other things that were necessary to fight the war? Who was making them? If all the men were out in the field and so many Germans were being killed, how did they do this? Well, what they did was these weren't concentration camps. They weren't death chambers. They were huge industrial centers where not only the Jews, but also any other prisoner that they captured was put in these work camps. That's the key word, work camps. And they're the ones that operated the war machine. These prisoners were actually extremely valuable to the Germans. They didn't want to kill them. They wanted to keep them happy so that they could keep producing the boots and the bullets and the parts for the jet fighters and so forth, Tex. So they weren't being killed. They were used to man the presses and all of these other things in the industrial centers.
Now, I was always shocked because I found out that the Jews were actually paid for their work and that there was a canteen, you know, in other words, what we would call in the military, we call basic exchanges, where they sold things from candy to snacks and books and other things. So that there actually was concentration camp, if you want to call it that, but work camp money or script, and they were given money for their work, and they actually were able to go and buy things there.
Yeah, there's actual photographs of this money in the book. And not only did they have these canteens where they could go and buy things, but there were symphonies there, there were soccer fields, there was a swimming pool at Auschwitz, and there were hospitals there attacked. Jewish women were having babies at these work camps. Now, we were told all through history what efficient killers the Germans were. Now, if they're such efficient killers, we know that even Jewish historians now admit that there were no death camps in Germany per se. They say all of them were in outlying areas like Poland or Czechoslovakia or whatever. So if the Germans are such efficient killers, wouldn't you think that if they want to kill, if all they want to do is kill Jews, that as soon as they apprehended them, they put one bullet in their head and kill them, one after another, or have a firing squad? But no. Even Jewish historians now admit that what the Germans supposedly did was load all of these people into trains or into trucks and transport them out of Germany to a different country. Now, one of the primary reasons why Germany lost the war is because they ran out of fuel. They had to make synthetic fuel out of coal. So they're fighting this war. They're losing this war. And we're to believe that the Germans are going to waste millions of gallons of fuel, not only transporting millions of prisoners out of the country to kill them, but then to operate these gas chambers, these crematoria, and on and on and on. Well, Tex, the Germans actually wanted to win the war. They weren't going to be squandering millions and millions of gallons of fuel simply to take people out of their country and kill them. What they wanted was to keep these people in the work camps so that they could produce, and a happy worker is much more efficient and productive than an unhappy worker, so that's why they paid them. That's why they had the canteens there. They had the symphonies and the soccer fields and the swimming pools. The work camps that were in existence, that the Jews and others were in, were oftentimes the safest places in Germany and countries around it during the war, because these were the places that weren't getting bombed. These were the industrial centers that the financiers knew they had to keep going after the war once the reconstruction began. So, you know, again, a little bit of logic and reason and common sense.
Now, one of the things that Mr. Irving got into trouble for in his books, he was known as probably the greatest World War II or Hitler historian in Europe. But one of the things he got in trouble for was he emphasized the point that there has never been one document found in which any of the leaders of Germany, you know, Hitler, Goering, all of them, Himmler and so forth, actually ordered what has been called a final solution. In other words, that Jews be put to death at these camps. Is that true? In other words, there's never been one, you would think if they're busy killing millions of Jews in all these camps, just constantly big killing factories, there would be all kinds of documents and papers and procedures and, you know, hey, I've been in the Air Force. You know, I was in the Air Force for 20 years. And let me tell you, you go to an Air Force base and they have a whole room set aside for all their regulations and manuals and such. And it covers the whole walls, you know. You could read forever. There's so many, just like our tax guides in America. The tax laws in America would fill up, you know, 20 passenger trains with documents right now today. So has any document ever been found, even one from Hitler or any other German Nazi leader that ordered the killing of Jews?
There has never, ever been one. And if there was, we would be able to source it and say, look, right there it is. The Jews would be able to present it to us and say, here it is. What they say, or what we're told, is that there was a final solution. And this final solution came straight from Adolf Hitler to the Nazis, that there was supposed to be a systematic extermination of every Jew they could get their hands on. Well, the final solution was simply nothing more than the Germans' attempt to get the Jews out of Germany and Europe. And strangely enough, Tex, not only did the Germans want this, to get the Jews out of Europe, but also the Zionists wanted that. They had a dual agenda here, because what we see is that the ultimate plan was to create this new state of Israel after World War II. So it's called a diaspora. They wanted to get the Jews out of Europe and move them into what was at that time Palestine, this country that they stole from the Palestinians. So the final solution was simply to have the Jews go from Europe to their new homeland. And when it comes to another document, because there have been Jews through history that have tried to compile a master list of all the supposed 6 million Jews that died. Now, if they could do that and verify every name, there would be no argument, right? There would be no book that I wrote.
Oh, sure, and you can do that with computers today. You or I could just Google up the names of the Jews that were killed, the 6 million in World War II, and case closed.
Case closed. But there's no master list, even though they've tried numerous times.
But the Germans kept meticulous records. Certainly, they would have the names, the dates, the addresses where they picked these people up, their birthdays. They would have everything, and we would know the 6 million, right? I mean, the Germans, we've been told over and over what meticulous record keepers they were.
Right. And there's a professor that's cited in the book. His name's Dr. Austin App. And one real quick quote, he says, absolutely no live person, Jew or non-Jew, was ever gassed or burned in any German concentration camp, including Auschwitz. So it never happened, Tex. It never, ever happened. And, you know, to continue this fabrication for decade after decade, it sickens me, because so much of what we see today still, I mean, like, even though this is a history book, I always try to bring it to the current day. And we're in so much trouble right now, even, you know, religiously, where I'm sure you know what the Scofield dispensationalism is, where, in essence, you have all these neocon evangelical Christians that have bought into the cause of the Zionists. And what they do is they tell them, well, Jesus will never return to all of you unless, first of all, a state of Israel was created, and second of all, if the temple is rebuilt in Jerusalem. Well, we already know that the first part has been true. In 1947, the nation of Israel was created, but now the temple in Israel. What does that mean? Why is that important? Well, how much dirty work has the United States been doing for Israel? We knocked off Iraq. We knocked off Libya. We have Syria and Iran in our gun sights right now. What Israel wants, greater Israel, is to completely control the Middle East. And what they're doing is they're manipulating us not only politically, economically, but also religiously, where you have these crazed neocons that dupe their followers into believing these lies that are told by the Jews, especially about the Holocaust. So, you know, this functions on so many different levels, and that's why the book is important, is that, you know, your listeners out there and the people that follow you, Tex, have to know that what happened then is being relived today.
Okay, now, one of the things that, as I recall, I would read, in fact, I read one time in a column in a major newspaper by a Jewish writer, and he was complaining that most of the Jews who died, almost all of them, died in one camp, Auschwitz. It was like the master death camp. But Auschwitz and Poland was controlled by the Soviet Union, the communist. And this Jewish writer said this. He said, if only the communists would allow us to go into Auschwitz, you would see that over 4 million died in that one camp alone of the 6 million. But the communists won't let us in there. Well, as you know, in the early 1980s, the Soviet Union's Iron Curtain fell, and suddenly Poland became a free country with elections and so forth, and we were able to go into Poland, and there was sitting Auschwitz, and there was a curator, in other words, the head of it, sort of like the head of a museum. It had been turned into sort of a tourist site by the communists, and we were able to discover once and for all the truth about Auschwitz that this Jewish writer had said, if we can only get that, you will find out. We Jews tell the truth. 6 million really died. But apparently, and I'm looking at page 72 and 73 of your book, apparently there's been a little fly in the ointment about Auschwitz, right?
Well, there's the curator there, his name was Dr. Piper, and he agreed to an interview with a man named David Cole, who was, by the way, Jewish. He went in there with a video camera, not only interviewed Dr. Piper, the man who ran Auschwitz, but also the people there that led on the tours and so forth. And what he found was facts so divergent to what we had been told since the mid-1940s about Auschwitz that he came back to the States and produced this evidence, showed these videotapes. And David Cole was beaten so horribly in Los Angeles by these Jewish thugs that he's never surfaced again since then. Never again. But luckily, his research was presented and people have been able to cite it. And now this is coming straight from Auschwitz. And we have to remember, Tex, that admittedly, people did die in these war camps, but they died within the last few months of the war, and the reason they died wasn't because of gas ovens or crematorias or anything like that. They died because the Allies had cut off all the supply lines. They bombed all the supply lines. So there wasn't any food. There wasn't any water. There wasn't any medicine going to these work camps. Now, if you don't have food, water, and medicine, guess what happens? People die. But they didn't die because of a final solution, a mass extermination by the Germans. They died as a byproduct of the war coming to a close and the supply lines being cut off. That's why people died in these war camps.
So they died of hunger, starvation. They died of not having medicine, just as many everyday ordinary Germans were dying of the same things.
Oh, absolutely. And the thing that kept most of these people alive during the war was what is cited as being the death agent, and that is Zyklon B. There's a whole chapter, as you know, in a book about Zyklon B. Zyklon B didn't kill people. It kept people alive because it was a delousing agent that did away with or at least combated the typhoid epidemic, or the typhus epidemic, I should say, that was rampant throughout Europe during the war because there was so many unsanitary conditions there. So all of these things, all of these sacred cows, Zyklon B and Auschwitz and Anne Frank and the Nuremberg trial, every one of them is picked apart in this book and debunked. And, you know, I just systematically go down the line and boom, 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 boom. And by the end of it, it's a freeing process, Tex, because now instead of being burdened by these oppressive lies, you realize that you've broken free of them, that you're out of your shackles, and here's the truth. You have an entirely different view of history once you get through with this book.
I like what you said about we're in shackles today. We've been told lies, and people are too frightened to even question the lies. By the way, on page 74 of your book, you cite a 1995 report by the American Jewish Committee, by a Jewish group that admitted the figure of 4 million at Auschwitz as dying. That is not true. And they said it was a figure made up by the camp commandant. Of course, as you also reveal in your book, that man, Rudolf Hess, was tortured into giving a fake statistic. So now, almost all the world's experts agree that 4 million did not die at Auschwitz. And I said, you got various figures. One of the ones I read, I think it was in Newsweek or Time, said 800,000. Others say 400,000. Others say 50,000. Another one said 897,000. So, of course, that means 6 million didn't die because 4 million of the 6 suddenly shrinks down to, who knows, 800,000 or 1 million. So all of these things are part of the lies. By the way, we don't have time, but one of the chapters that I can't say I enjoyed reading, but certainly was interesting, was reexamining the Anne Frank fable. Understand there's yet another movie coming out about Anne Frank, and there's a lot of lies that have been told in that. In fact, I mean, the lies that have been told about the Holocaust, we could have a whole library just of lies, library of Holocaust lies. But I want to encourage people to get the book by Victor Thorne, The Holocaust Hoax Exposed. So call us, won't you? Toll free, 1-800-234-9673. Go to our website, powerofprophecy.com, or write to us, Tex Mars, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733, and say, hey, Tex, send me The Holocaust Book by Victor Thorne. $25 total, and we'll get it right out to you. Victor, as always, I appreciate you being a guest. We need to come back because there's so much in your book, so many lies to expose. Thank you for being a truth teller, my friend.
Well, not only thank you to you also, Tex, but also to your listeners, that these are the people that are tuning in, and these are the people that have this hunger and don't want to be simply lemmings that follow in line with everyone else. So, you know, just everyone down there in Austin, everyone that's tuning into your radio shows, I just thank them and also you for having me on because, like I said, there's a lot of people, even in our own field here, that really shy away from this. And
so many patriots, the biggest patriot radio people are frightened to death. You know, what's the old saying about a coward? You know, a hero dies one death, but a coward dies over and over and over again.
I think the first time I read one of your books was 1993, and, you know, you are certainly one of the men at the forefront of leading this charge. So just, you know, many, many thank yous.
Thank you, Victor, and God bless you. Friends, my prayer for you is that you stay, my friend, and we're going to be truth tellers together, and that you tune in each week and discover the power of prophecy.